Thank you for tuning in for the next 30 minutes to Victory Gospel Lighthouse Church. We are located at 907 Howard Street in Jennings, Louisiana. We would like to invite you to be our guest Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for our regular service and Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. for Bible study. For more information, please contact us at P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. Now stay tuned for an exciting and anointed message from Pastor Austin Spell.
Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with me to the book of Psalms, chapter number 63. Psalm 63. And we're going to talk a little bit about the wilderness of Judah this morning. While you're finding that, we're going to invite those who are listening, watching with us on Facebook, and those who will be hearing the message on HLE Radio, and remind you once again to support HLE Radio as we get this message out around the world. And we've almost conquered the world with this word. Amen. I don't know how many we have left, but we are all around. We have one nation yet to hear this gospel is preached, and we're going to get that one too. That means we're in 194 countries. Yeah. So if you can do the math, there's only 195. Boy, that was brilliant. Just saying. From the book of Psalms, chapter number 63. It's a short chapter, so we'll read the entire chapter. And I want you to pay close attention to this Psalm of David, because he wrote this psalm while he was in the wilderness of Judah. I don't know if I could find one person in this building or listening that has not at one time experienced a wilderness in their life, a time of trials and tribulations, a time of walking in the valley and needing the Lord more than you ever needed him before. Listen to what the psalmist said. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. You ever been in that dry, thirsty land? Huh? Yeah, we've been there. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Now, David's saying, I've seen you in the sanctuary. We've seen him in church together. We've praised him. We've honored him. We've seen his work in the sanctuary. But what about the wilderness? But David's reminding himself, he said, as I saw your power in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. In the wilderness now, he's praising God in a dry place in life where there's no water. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. See, lifting your hands is spiritual. Just wanted to remind you. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings I will rejoice. You know what he's saying there? And no matter what my situation is, I'm in the shadow of his wings, and I know you're going to help me there wherever I am. Whether I'm sick, whether I'm healthy, whatever, you're going to help me. I'll be under your wings and I will rejoice. Verse 8 says, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it, that's the enemy. That's the work of the devil. That's Satan. And that's people that Satan uses, huh? They seek my soul to destroy it. They shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king, But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. What an encouraging place to be in the Lord, no matter what. Now, to begin with, in the Hebrew of this psalm, it begins with God. That word for God is Elohim. That's the plural usage of the name of God. That simply means that the Trinity that we believe the Bible speaks of here. Elohim represents God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, as the Bible shows us in all these. All three in one. Remember that. All three in one. When you call upon God, you summon the triune Godhead. They all hear you. God the Father. When you call upon the name of Jesus, amen, you're calling upon the triune Godhead. When you call upon the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, remember God the Father has given the Son, and through the Son are all things given to us. Yeah, that's how God operates. That's his plan. You see, it is to express the mystery of the Trinity. There's a mystery there that you can't understand in your natural mind. But if you read the Word, study the Word, and accept God as he speaks through his Word and his Holy Spirit, it's easy to understand. Each person of the triune Godhead manifests himself in a different way. Everyone works for the same purpose and goal. That's to get you and I saved. To keep us from going to a burning eternal hell. This powerful triune Godhead works together in all things for us. God and the Father, in his role as a creator, has created all things with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You can go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and you can find in the creation where God is there, and the Son is there, and the Holy Spirit is there. Now you can find people that disagree with that, and they'll argue with you till they're blue in the face. But I don't want to get blue in the face, so I don't argue with them. Let them go believe what they want. I know what God's Word says. Jesus, in his role as the Son of God, came to this world, to this earth. It was laden with sin. And he came to set, amen, mankind free of this burden of sin. He hung on an old rugged cross. We sing about it. We preach about it. And we thank him for it. His blood flowed down that old cross, and it touched an earth that was cursed. Now remember, the earth was cursed because of sin. God said that. That you're not going to grow anything anymore unless you toil for it. Unless you work by the sweat of your brow. Why? Because there's a curse on the earth. Even the earth today groans for release. That's why I believe that you hear of these earthquakes and tsunamis and hurricanes and tornadoes. Whatever it is caused by that curse that's on this earth. In all of that, we have power in the name of Jesus. And we see the miracles that are performed in that. His blood cried out to a lost mankind to come to the waters, come to the fountain. Remember, the psalmist said he found himself in a dry place where there was no water. And we find ourselves there sometimes, in a place where we find no hope. Sickness, disease, hurt, pain, death, whatever it may be, brings us sometimes to a place of desperation, and we find ourselves in despair. But if we rely on God, you see, the psalmist made a mistake, but now he's repented. And even though he finds himself in the wilderness, he knows in his heart that if he repents, God forgives. And then he begins to ask God for that mercy and that grace and that fulfillment in his life that only God can give you. There's a fountain. It flows free today. The blood has as much power today as it had when it was shed by Jesus on an old rugged cross. And we can call upon that name. Born again believers, I believe today, groan for a release from the oppression of sin. But only the Holy Spirit cries out, hold on. Hold on. There's a victory coming. I don't care what condition you're in today, if you'll hold on to God's word, the Holy Spirit will lead you into victory. Oh, I can't get away from Brother Winky's song. When you get tired of hearing it, you do that with your ears, because I'm not going to stop saying it. We need to walk in that victory song. Amen. God will give you a victory song, but you've got to ask him for it. It doesn't come from the world or anything else that the world offers. It only comes through Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's our victory. Hold on. Soon the redeemed will be gathering in. Ain't gonna be long now. Oh, if I could give you some hope today, it'll only be found in Christ and him crucified. Hope is not in this world. In fact, the Bible says if your hope is in this world only, you are of all men most miserable. Somebody won all that big money in the lottery last night, I heard. My wife said, I hope it's poor people that need it and can help somebody. I said, no. I said, it doesn't matter if it's rich or poor. It's a curse. Unless you know how to use it for Jesus. Yeah. The devil will help destroy you and everyone else he can now that you've found riches. Yeah. Oh, the devil blesses people. You better know that. You don't? I'm sorry for you, but it's true. Many times people get blessed and live in sin all of their lives. Well, that's not God's blessing, is it? No. Satan is the power and prince of this air. He can bless you and make you believe that it comes from God. But you know the difference if you have a discerning spirit and know how God blesses. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. Every evil gift comes from the kingdom of darkness. The Holy Spirit says, hold on, redemption's coming. Our hope is not in this world. It's not in the material things of this world. Oh, we have to have some material things, yes. The short statement that says, occupy till I come, simply means for us to work, for us to do good, do right, take care of our families, take care of one another, make money, survive, and give to the Lord. Occupy till he comes. Pray that the Lord will find us working for the kingdom of God when the trumpet sounds. Because the only thing you're taking with you is what you brought into this world. A soul and a spirit and a lost body that's going to decay. It's not what you're going to take with you. It's what you're going to leave behind that counts. Because that's going to be your legacy. You're going to be an old tightwad. And people are going to say good things about you when they look at you in the coffin. Then they're going to walk away and say, that thing was no good. Yes. Why? The blessings of the devil do not prosper you. It is God's blessings. Not the love of money or wealth that the Bible says is a sin, not fame and fortune, but everything that's in Christ Jesus. Now, we're getting to a point here, if you'll hold on with me. I'm kind of like Brother Janway told me one day when I was going around to get to a church. He said, Brother Spill, you went around your fist to get to your thumb. You could have got there right away. Yeah, you could have. You could have went straight to the thumb, but you went all the way around your fist to get there. I know some of you don't know what I'm talking about. But in this psalm of David, he was in the wilderness of Judah. Now, he was still king of Israel, but we see him fleeing from his son Absalom. And he was fleeing from his son Absalom and ended up in one of the lowest times of his life. Ever been there? In some of the lowest times of your life? And still be a Christian? You're still a believer. David was still king. But he was running and hiding because his son wanted to kill him to get the kingdom, to get his throne. So he went to this area known as the land of Judah, that area. And we're going to tell you what went on there in just a minute. But in that land, in that area, he begins to seek God, and God hears him. Now, just because you're in a desperate situation or a dry place in your life, don't stop calling on God. Don't give up. It may seem like he's not there, but he is. He said he's always with us. He's always in us. He's always helping us. He's always giving us the power of that Spirit, amen, that he gave us to get saved with. If God had enough power to save you, and you don't believe he has enough power to keep you and to deliver you and to lead you into heaven one day, then there's something wrong with your thinking. He is powerful enough to save us. He's powerful enough to take us through the hard times in life. But he cannot do it until we call upon him. That means actions of our faith. Call upon God. He will hear you. David was in the wilderness, and he begins to seek God. And God gave him this psalm. You see, there's more to this psalm than what we propose here. And merely reading over it, you're not going to get the message. David was in the wilderness of Judah. Now, this part of the area that he was in, it was really a bad place to be. But David was reaping from the seed that he had sown. You know, there's a universal law called the law of sowing and reaping. That's not just for Christians or just for sinners. That's for all people. He uses that law in nature. You plant rice, you don't get corn. You get rice. The law of sowing and reaping. What you sow, you're going to reap. God uses that law in nature just like he does in the spiritual world. Just like he does in our lives. And really, he said, the kingdom of heaven in this world that's in you and I is what he's referring to when he talks about the law of sowing and reaping. Warning us that we must be careful the seed that we sow, because sooner or later we're going to reap the harvest of that seed. Now, that doesn't mean that the harvest is going to go on the rest of your life. No. No, we find David, when he sowed that bad seed with Bathsheba, now reaping what he had sown, but his reaping stopped when God forgave him. And he repented. Oh, then in that valley of desperation, in this area that was no good for anything, God was restoring him. And he wasn't worth restoration. Huh? And we're not either. And the only reason God can restore us is by his grace that is sufficient for us. Because where sin does abound, grace does there much more abound. It was abounding for David that day. It abounds for us today. But in that grace, we have a responsibility to do what David did. The Bible says he repented. You see, sometimes we get to living so fast, we sow bad seed and forget to repent. Okay. Now he was reaping what he had sown in an adulterous affair with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband. But now he had forgiven, or he had repented and received forgiveness from God. The reason for the reference to the wilderness of Judah is because, as I said before, Judah was a bad place, that area. The area was part of the inheritance of the tribe of Judah. And it consisted of a large area of low-lying land that was right next to the Dead Sea. If you've ever been to Jerusalem and the Dead Sea, you know, or if you've ever read about it and studied, you know what I'm talking about. Nothing grows in the Dead Sea. It's full of salt. Nothing. They tell me if you try to swim in the Dead Sea, you swim on top of the water. There's so much salt in it, you can't sink. But I don't know about you. I don't want that much salt on me. Might heal something. Might preserve something. Salt is a preservative. I don't know where I went with that. But here's the history of that area. History tells us that... Bam. Trying to talk too loud in the mic already. Jewish history tells us that it was fit only for leopards, for bear, for wild goat, for outlaws and thieves. Now here is David in this area surrounded by all of this evil. That's what the reference is to. It was a place of evil. And he's right in the middle of this evil place. And what he calls, what the Bible calls a wilderness area. Evidently there wasn't anything else around there. It was a wilderness. And now he finds himself repenting and asking God to deliver us. Now, this place, as the Bible describes it, doesn't sound like a very friendly place to be with all these wild animals and stuff around. But God lets us see David in his wilderness because we are just as apt to be in our wilderness as David was in his. If we're not careful, we'll end up in our own wilderness by that which we've sown, that which we've done, or by the sin of omission. We never hear about the sin of omission, but one day I'm going to preach a message on it. But I'm going to surprise you because if I announce it, nobody's going to show up. It's not what you do for God sometimes, it's what you don't do. I'm going to leave it there. Sin of omission. Yeah. See, David committed this sin when he omitted in his mind and his heart the moral principles that God had given him to live by. So he just set that aside. Oh, we have to be careful. If we set that aside in our lives, where are we going to end up? The wilderness of Judah in our own lives. We find David's experience an outlet for us. When we look at David and how he reacted to that which he was reaping and sowing, when he reacted to that which brought him to the wilderness in his life, God also gives us a way out, just like he did with David. He is the way maker. He always makes a way for us. In the end, he's going to make a way of escape for his church. A lot of stuff, bad stuff going on in this world, and we see it. And we bring it right into where the Word of God says it's going to be for this time. And the next step is glory for the church. Come to Bible study. Christian's going to explain it all to you. Studying about Revelation. You see, that wilderness comes to our lives in many forms, many ways. Sickness or death, separation, loneliness, depression drives you into a wilderness area, and there the devil wants to attack you. He wants to destroy your faith. He wants you to just throw up your hands and say, I give up. No, look what David did, huh? David gives us an experience in the diligence of seeking God. It's the same expression that Job had. Job, after everybody criticized him and really called him a sinner, God wouldn't do this to you unless you were a sinner. Well, God wasn't doing it. Satan was doing it. You know the story. But his expression in his desert area of his life at that time, in his wilderness at that time, he said, though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. You know what David said to the Lord after he had sinned and repented? He said, God, I know that I've sinned. And I'm just ad-libbing, but that's what the Word says. He said, I know that I've sinned, and I know I have to pay a price for that sin. But whatever you do to me, please don't take your spirit from me. Oh, no. In the wilderness, you still have the Spirit of God. He lives within us. Pray, God, don't take your spirit from me. And he found repentance. And he found God in a way. He said, I meditate on thee in the night watches. That's talking about the lowest time, the darkest time of your life. You must continue to meditate. He said, think on these things. And he's talked about those things that are good and precious and honest and true and all of these things. Think on these things. Don't dwell on the depression that Satan's trying to put into your mind.
Pastor Spell and the congregation of Victory Gospel Lighthouse wish to thank you for tuning into our broadcast and want you to join us at the same time next Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for more of God's Word here on HLE Radio. If you would like to partner with us by spreading the gospel, you can send your support to P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. If you would like to listen to more sermons, you can do so by going to hleradio.com and clicking on Online Sermons, Victory Gospel Lighthouse. We hope you will join us next week. God bless you and God bless America.
No, I'm not perfect, and I'll never be. Your sweet forgiveness, Lord, can rescue me. Here comes His grace again. There goes my fear. Here comes my Lord and friend.